What I'd like for you to do, everyone to do that is here this morning, is to look into the mirror that is this Word of God. And as you look into it, I want you to see yourself, the reflection that's going back, and see if you line up with it. Romans 12:3, please. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Amen? Not to think more highly of themselves than they ought to think. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, here this morning, again, I come with thanksgiving. I come with praise in my heart for you this morning. Lord, I love you. I pray, Father, that the word be opened up this morning. I pray, Lord, that it would go out just exactly the way that you'd have it to. And Father, you are truly good to us. We know your word is true, and we can stand upon it, and we believe it. In Jesus' name we pray and ask, and amen. I want to tell all of you a little secret here this morning. The most difficult and challenging, obstinate, flaky, rebellious, defiant person that I've ever had to lead as a pastor is in this church this morning. Do you understand that? I want you to understand that. And this is not the first time that he's ever come to church. Yes, he's been a member here for a while. Yes, he has. Been a member of this church. He takes part in activities. He's in the fundraisers for the new sanctuary. He does some work parties once in a while. Not to mention he holds office in this church. He does. He leads service from time to time. He will do that. He even sings once in a while. And I've had to deal with him on numerous occasions. I've had to deal with him a bunch. I hope you understand that. And he's not been fun to deal with. Not at all. He's not been a bit fun. And just when I think that I have him under control, he does something else that frustrates me to no end. And he does. He causes trouble by being impatient, by being rebellious. He causes trouble by being obstinate. And you know what? He's not like that every service. I want you to understand that. He's not like that every time we step into the church. He's not like that. And when I tell you his name, you're probably going to say, oh, no, I didn't know that about him. But it's true. I'm here to tell you. But I'm here to tell you as your pastor this morning that I've dealt with him. And this morning, in this time only, pastor confidentiality goes out the window. I want you to know that for this time only. Because I am going to mention names here in a little bit. He's given me permission to. And why he's given me permission to say and to speak the way that I'm going to tell you he is because, you know what? I've dealt with him at my house. I've dealt with him at restaurants. I've dealt with him at work. And I've dealt with him right here in this church. Unfortunately, he's here this morning. He's right here this morning. He's right in this church this morning, the Drift Run. You see, the most difficult, challenging, obstinate, rebellious, defiant person that I've ever had to preach to is me. Do you understand that? This is your pastor that I'm talking about here this morning. Why? Why would I? You know, Romans 7:24 says, "This old wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? O wretched man that I am." I'm up here to tell you this morning that I am no different than anybody else studying back there this morning. I come to Jesus Christ through the blood of Jesus Christ. I had to accept Him, and I'm here to tell you this morning, if you are here today, you will have to come the same way. There's no getting around it. Why am I telling you this here on this beautiful January 31st, 2016? Because I want better for you. I want better for you than what I deal with. I don't want you to be like me in this sense. You know, I don't want you to become rebellious. I don't want you to become defiant as a child of God. And you know what? It's easy to slip down those paths. Very easy to slip down them. You know what? Not listening to the leading of the Holy Ghost. I don't want you to become lazy and difficult and challenging to deal with, being stubborn and wanting your way and not God's way. You understand what I'm talking about this morning? I hope so. Because you know what? I dealt with it on my own basis. And again, I tell you, I want better for you. Yes, there are times the most difficult person to preach to, and I want you to say, understand this, the most difficult person to preach to is the one that you look at in the mirror every morning. Because I face him every day. I face him every day. And when we become this type of person, it hurts more than just ourselves. Do you understand that? We hurt those we love. We can hurt those that are friendships. We hurt our Christian witness. And you know what? We hurt our church when we become that type of person. I believe there is no closer fellowship outside of our immediate family than our church family. Do you agree with me on that? There's none. There is none. Because you know what? We are Christian brothers and sisters. Amen? The Spirit-led Christian, what he is, should think of others more than himself. Am I right in saying that? Do you believe that? If you are a Spirit-led, bought by the blood Christian, you think of others more than you think of yourself. Philippians 2:3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Now listen to this. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than who? Than themselves. That's God's word. That isn't just this preacher up here preaching and saying words. The Spirit-led Christian demands more of himself than he does others because he is determined to do what? He's determined to help others. Amen? That's what we should do. And when we become self-centered instead of outward focused, listen to me, we are missing the mark entirely. We're missing it. We've missed it so much it isn't even funny. I want to encourage you, as your preacher of this Drift Run Church, my goal every week is to encourage you. I know there's times I preach hard. I understand that. And bless your hearts, I understand it more because you know what? It hurts me to do it. But you know what? More than anything, I want to encourage everybody in here. I love it. I want to be an encouragement. I want to lead you. I want to teach you in ways that will make you stronger and be more of a Christian and be more of the Christian that Christ wants us to be. That's my goal. Have you become obstinate like I have been sometimes in my life? You know, refusing change, your opinions, you know, refusing to change your opinions, you know, of your chosen course that you're on, despite attempts by those around you to try and help you see that you're going down that path. You're just downright stubborn. I've been there. You understand? I have been there. I have been downright stubborn in my life at times. I have seen many a church torn apart because of this. Do you understand me whenever I say that? I've seen many a family torn apart because of stubbornness. I agree that there are times that as a person, we need to stand upon God's Word. I understand that wholeheartedly. I will not back down when it comes to God's Word. I will probably be stubborn with you. But there are times that I do not need to be stubborn. And I have been stubborn. But just because you want things done a certain way, just because I want things done a certain way, does not always mean that it is the right way. Stubbornness can be a dangerous path to take. Remember the story of Balaam? You remember Balaam? And his talking donkey? You remember that story, do you not? God had told him to do something. God told him to go and do something a certain way. Well, Balaam thought that he knew better. He thought that he knew the better way. Well, he got on his donkey and he started down the path to go in the direct, to do just exactly what God had told him not to do. You see, he knew better. He knew what was better than what God had showed. Well, he started down that path, an angel of the Lord appeared before this donkey. The donkey could see it. Balaam could not see it. The donkey stopped. So what's Balaam do? He gets off and he starts beating the donkey because the donkey will not go. So you know what God does? God makes the donkey talk. And he says, this donkey talks to Balaam, and he tells Balaam, he said, listen, he said, you know what, why are you beating me? Why are you beating me? And finally, God opened Balaam's eyes, and there was an angel standing there with a sword that if the donkey would have went on, God says in His Word, He would have slain Balaam. Stubbornness can be a dangerous thing. Do you understand that? James 1:19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Right? Would you agree with me on that? Sometimes we do her in just the exact opposite of that. You know what? Luke 6:39 says, and he spake a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? Yes, I've been stubborn at times in my ministry. And I'll tell you what, brother, and it has cost me. It has cost me. That's why I preach to you this morning. If you're dealing with obstinance, if you're dealing with stubbornness in your life, for whatever it may be, I'm not telling you that you're not saved, but I've seen a lot of stubborn Christians. Do you understand that? I've seen a lot of them. I've seen their lives be hurt and destroyed by the stubbornness. And I'm here to tell you this morning, get it right with God. Get it right with Him. Don't be like Balaam and start down that path, and God has to make a way to show you that your stubbornness is wrong. I've also come to be very impatient. Can I just say that? I have become very impatient in my life sometimes. I've been very impatient with my family. I've been very impatient with friends. I've been very impatient with co-workers, with my congregation, and with God. And that's not a very good formula right there, I'm going to tell you right now. I've become very impatient sometimes. I'll bet no one else in here has ever had any trouble with impatience, have they not? Probably not. No, just drive down the road, the speed limit. Just drive down the road, the speed limit, and have somebody come up behind you, and then pass you, and go a mile down the road and turn off. Try that sometimes. Or set at a stoplight sometimes, with somebody behind you, and the stoplight turned green, and within a nanosecond, they're blowing the horn at you. Yes. Impatience is very, very much in our society today. Very much. But whenever it gets to the point where it gets into church, how many stories have we seen about people passing stopped school buses lately? Have you seen that on the news? You don't think it's not impatient there? And that's dangerous, not to boot. We can see impatience as a major problem in our microwave society, our fast food society. The demand, we can see it has become that. My grandmother used to do this with me. She always knew when I'd come in, and I'd be just doing. I'm just impatient about things. She said, "You're acting like a chicken with your head cut off, Dave." She would say that to me, and she would drive with me, and she would say stuff like this. She said, "Where's the fire at, Dave? Have you ever heard that before? Oh yeah. Where's the fire at?" Why? Because she wanted me to understand that being impatient was not going to get me anywhere. That I need to have patience in my life. She wanted me to stop and smell the roses or the coffee or whatever you prefer. But we need to do that. Sometimes our impatience is not what God wants. That, you know what? The trouble is that that if you're like me, I'm in a hurry. And I want everybody else to be in a hurry, but guess what? God and everybody else is not in a hurry all the time. Like I want them to be. I'm quite often reminded of the scripture in Luke 21:19 when it says this, in your patience does what? Possess ye your soul. Those are pretty strong words, are they not? In your patience possess ye your soul. Impatience can have a very negative impact on your life. It has it on mine, and I know if you're here this morning, if you've been impatient, it can have an impact on your life also. One of the greatest examples of this is found in the Bible, and I go back to this a lot, is about Abraham, Sarah, Hagar, and Ishmael. You know the story, how that Abraham and Sarah became impatient, and Sarah gave her handmaid, gave Abraham her handmaid to have a child by. That child became Ishmael. And you know who that child is today? We all know that. It is the Arab nations, the Muslim nations, and who it is. And you don't think impatience does not have its way within the world as time goes by and on and on and on. The impatience that you have today can affect on down the road. It can have an effect on your children. You know what? They say the apple doesn't fall too far from trees. You know what? Raise up a child in the way that it should go. That goes both ways. Amen? It can have a negative and a positive effect. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, which means patience. That's the fruits of the Spirit right there. Gentleness, goodness, and faith. Do you have the patience needed to do God's work? I'm asking you. I want to ask you this morning, simple question. Do you, in your mind, have the patience? Do you feel that you have the patience to do God's work? Me and you both need to get it if we don't have it. And I'll be up here praying with you for myself and you. Amen? Because patience is one thing that is needed. There are times when I have been selfish also. 13:1. And it says, let every soul be subject unto the higher power. For there is no power but of God, the power that be ordained of God. The power that be ordained of God. There is no, because what it says, every soul be subject to the higher power. You know why I'm selfish in that? Because there are times, Ryan, I don't want to be subject to the higher power. That's when I'm selfish. Do you understand that? I've not let myself be subject to it. How about you here this morning? God's dealt with me to go do a work that He has called me to do, but I have been selfish, and I said, you know what? I don't want to do it now, God. I want to do it whenever Dave wants to do it, and I want to do it my way and on my terms. I'm here to tell you this morning, that is selfishness out of me. And if you're dealing with it that way, that is selfishness out of your life also. You know what? Look, the next verse covers it, 13:2 in Romans. It says, whosoever therefore, get this, resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, that they resist shall receive themselves damnation. That's pretty strong, is it not? I'll tell you what, I have got on my knees more than once and say, God, forgive me for being so selfish, wanting things the way Dave Long wants them, not the way that you want them. I've got on my knees many a time at my prayer room, at my house, and wherever I may be, and at work or wherever it may be, and say, God, please forgive me for being so selfish. We can do so many. We can use so many reasons that seem so good. Am I right? It may be our family. It may be work. It may be a number of things. And you know what? Just remember what God had brought you from. Can you remember that? Where you were and right to this point where God has brought you to this point? Because if you can't, you need to get this altar. Amen? You have a duty as a child of the living God to be subject to the higher power. Every one of us in here do. To be any other way is selfishness on our part. Any other way is selfishness. But you know what? Verse 33 also, Matthew 6:19-34, tells us a lot about this. You can read it later. But one verse in particular, the 33rd verse, says this: seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That's why I'm preaching to you here this morning the way that I am. When you go home, take a look in the mirror of His Word and find out if you line up with what His Word is trying to say. That's why I'm preaching the way I am this morning. I've admitted to you this morning that I've needed to do a lot of work in my life down through the years. And you know what? It's not going to change. I can tell you, until the Lord takes me out of this world, I am an imperfect person. Imperfect. And God will continue to use me and continue to dwell and to deal with me on things. But you know what? I want better for you. I want better for you. That's why I'm preaching the way I am this morning. You know what? Look into the mirror of God's Word. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. You all have a measure of faith if you're saved here this morning. And God is dealing with you. They come and get a song. I pray this morning that you look in the mirror of God's Word. And I pray that, you know what, you find that you line up to what He's saying. Come this morning if you have a need.